Hey, and we're back, and we are still discussing the 2025 Diageo special releases. So our next one up is the Daiyuan Marbled Treasures 21-year-old. It's 54.4% ABV, or 108.8 proof. This never-before-released 21-year-old expression is matured lifelong in Spanish oak and ex-sherry casks, and boy, does it show on the color.
It's the darkest one of all.
It's 21 years in ex-sherry.
Yeah.
And you can tell most of these are new because that color is so dark.
Yeah. This thing is 18 shades darker than anything else on the table. But that doesn't matter. You can't drink color. So what do we got?
My heart is darker. I can drink color.
On the nose, the sherry is there. It's absolutely beautiful. It's not overpowering, but it lets you know that it's there. It wraps around the...
I was afraid that 21 years in sherry would be too overpowering, but it's still balanced.
There's a roast nuttiness to it, some dark chocolate on the nose. It's really, really, really pretty. And let's see on the palate. Dark brown sugar. It's got a heaviness to it. Heavy, heavy coffee notes, espresso. A little bit of pepper on the back palate. Dark, dark, dark cocoa mocha on the back end.
And peppercorns, baby.
Yeah, the pepper is definitely there. This one is another one that, with a little water, for me, it jumped up a full point. Beautiful whiskey. What'd you think, Harv?
I think you hit all the notes, Bob. I mean, Jesus, this is absolutely gorgeous. I was expecting this to 21 years in the sherry. I expected it to be too much, but... Again, you said water. The water really did improve it because I feel like it
flattened. It was a little astringent.
It flattened it a bit, but I was able to taste more. I was like chocolate covered raisins, the roasted chestnut. Did you say roasted chestnuts?
What'd roasted nuts. Yeah, I didn't get specific, but there's a dark roasted nuttiness to it.
It's just the water brought this
it's
out.
It's that 21 year old. Oloroso cask. Yeah. You're getting that nuttiness in it. It's beautiful.
And there's a coffee note. And I don't drink coffee, but this is the type of... This is the coffee that's not too acidic. It's not too bitter. It's
like a mocha,
the sweet
like
spot.
Like a light mocha.
Yeah, right. Exactly, Brent. So what did you think about this one?
That's what... I mean, on the palate, that's what I liked about this one was that it had that... It's like that like a brown sugar mocha... a little bit of pepper. It just felt really nice on your palate, you know,
lingering finish.
Yeah, it was very nice. I mean, when you say you can't taste color, I tasted the color on that one.
You can't taste color in scotch because they're allowed to add color.
Yeah, well.
I don't know if this is no color. Yeah. This is probably no color added. Non-chill filter.
The special releases
in Scotland from Diageo tend to be non-chill filtered, no color added.
Yeah.
And these are cast strength as well. So
what'd you think, Justin?
Unadulterated.
I got like Turkish Delight with Turkish coffee on the palate. Just a spicy hot back to it. I loved it. I could smoke this with a Connecticut cigar, something light, or with a cream soda, not in it, but just to chase it.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to give the Daiyuan Marbled Treasures 21-year-old special release a well-deserved 4 sips.
I thought 5, man. Didn't we agree on 5?
I wanted 5, but, you know.
Oh, we've got some dissenters.
All right, Justin, tell us about our last one.
You said you would untie me.
So I had the privilege to talk about the Lagavulin Grain and Embers 12-year-olds. 56.5% alcohol by volume, or 113 proof. This 12-year-old Lagavulin is matured in refill casks and Pedro Ximenez and Oloroso seasoned European oak butts. The color on it is light. The nose, it's peat, my friends. If you love the peat.
It's a punch in the face with phenol.
There's peat. I don't get any other notes, just peat. On the palate, surprisingly, there's peat. It has other flavors, but they're well under there. You get...
You can taste the fruit underneath.
You get a little bit of smoked pork. You get some salt. You're somewhere near the ocean while you're smelling peat. And what did you think, Brent?
Oysters.
They provide tasting notes with some of these things. And this is one of the things they say. It's a smoldering peat, wood ash, and hints of soap and plaster. No, that automatically makes me want
to read that. I didn't read their notes.
When I read that, I'm like, oh my God, they put it in there that they didn't want you to enjoy it like that. But this one here, I've just now tasted it, and it is peaty, but it's not like over peaty because you can still get those
over peaty
because you get
some people love
fruit.
Construction Brent and they want to drink it.
I understand that, but
and
this
is
one
the
here
spirit for them.
I've let it set out. I've put water in it. This is the first time I'm tasting it of all the, you know, because I didn't taste it earlier. Didn't want to ruin my palate because of that soap and plaster.
But you're still strapped down to the table.
The next line is maritime notes evoke rock pools, lobster pots, fresh scallops, oysters.
Also, look, I got the oyster note. I don't get lobster pot because I don't know what a lobster pot tastes like.
That's like a salt.
You've never been invited to a party. That's your problem, yeah.
I didn't live in the Northeast where they go lobstering. I've been scuba diving for lobsters.
Oh, we do lobster pot here all the time. We just don't invite you.
Oh, I hate you now. No, I do crawfish boils, baby.
What do you think?
I was worried that this one was going to be over peaty, and I don't think that this is over peaty. I think that this has the strong peat notes, but it's really got
big
those
peaty,
fruit.
Regular peaty? Repeating?
Repeating, yeah. So then it's got those fruit notes underneath that, and the saltiness and the you know that sea underneath of it that you can actually taste. Mm. So for me, I'm enjoying it more than I thought I would.
Excellent.
Me too. It is heavy on the peat. There is a heavy campfire smoke to it, but
the maritime notes that oysters,
everything else comes through.
They say lobster pot, which I have no idea.
Yeah,
the scallops. First
it's going to kick you in the nose and the teeth, and then you're going to get the other flavors.
You have to let it. Yeah,
I think it's delicious.
Yeah. I added water. I let it sit. I didn't taste it until we just now tasted it. So,
and I've had every Lagavulin that's ever been released, except for a few like really rare ones. It's not my favorite, but it's up there. It's really good. Mm-hmm. It's up there. But as for a 12-year-old Lagavulin, I think last year's was a little bit better. This one is freaking amazing.
Yeah, every year's different.
Every year is different, but it's smooth. It's not just smoky.
It's very smooth.
But because of that peat, it's not for everybody. You have a select audience for this kind of
the smoke
of the
is
scotch.
Not edgy. It's not rough.
Yeah.
It's
not that burnt.
No,
that burnt asphalt on the side of the road. No, it's not like that.
You're at the bonfire, and you're tasting the smoke, but it's not making your eyes water.
Yeah. Right. You know, it's
from
not,
the heat.
Right.
I'm just remembering the last time I was in Iowa because we were at a bonfire on the beach eating scallops.
Yes, yes. Keep telling your stories, Bob. I'm going
to
cut you.
Next door to Lagavulin, it brings up those memories. So
I have not been to Scotland as an adult, as a child. I need to go now.
This one is fantastic. So we're going to be giving the Lagavulin Grain and Numbers 12-year-old a well-deserved 4 sips.
That's classified.
All right, boys. I think they did a pretty good job with the special releases. They do every year.
It's fun.
And honestly, we always say the same thing. The packaging for the media kit. Nobody on earth. Nobody does it better than Diageo. Oh, my God. We take pictures of the box and get 5,000 likes. They've got the best marketing department, but they did a great job on these. So,
yeah. I can't wait to see the actual bottles. They're not in Florida yet. It's April, Diageo. It's April.
Yep. Thanks for joining us. Thank you, Brent.
Thank you. You guys can untie me now. That was the promise.
Thank you, Harm.
Thank you, Bob.
And thank you, Justin.
Thank you. These were fun.
For Sips, Says, and Smokes, this is Madman Bob reminding you life is short, too short to drink bad whiskey. And fortunately, we didn't have to really do that
today. It wasn't really bad whiskey today.
It was just you couldn't deal with the peat.
No. I drank everything, and I thought I gave everything a very fair score. So that was, you know,
pretty good day in the basement.
Yeah.
Brent liked it.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you're listening to us online, do yourself a favor and tap it in the subscribe button.
Give it a little tappy, tap tap taparoo.
The easiest way to listen to our show is to ask Siri, Alexa, Google, Uncle Larry, or whoever it is that talks to you on your phone. Play podcast Sip Suds and Smokes. We love your feedback, and you can reach us at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com. Our tasting notes flow out on Twitter and Instagram with our handle at Sip Suds and Smokes, and our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. You'll also be able to interact with the thousands,
millions,
and millions
of other fans on those social media platforms. Do us a favor. Take the time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online. That's a big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as well. Come back, join us for another episode, and keep on sipping.
This has been a One Tan Hand production of Sip Suds and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the Good Old Boys, will see you all next time.
Diverse, independent, yours. You are now listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Burnaby, British Columbia. Thank you.
Rosy finches are mountaineers with style. The three species found in the U.S. and Canada all wear pink on their bellies and wings. But spotting that namesake hue means trekking up some of the most rugged terrain on the continent. The gray-crowned rosy finch nests in rocky crags at higher altitudes than almost any other North American bird. They forage for seeds and insects along glaciers and icy rock piles, ranging from Alaska to New Mexico. Two rare rosy finches live in the western U.S. year-round. For both brown-capped and black rosy finches, frigid, barren peaks are home sweet home. During blustering blizzards, they take shelter in abandoned mine shafts and other cozy crevices. And if the snow gets too thick to find food, these songbirds migrate downslope for easier meals. They'll even flock to bird feeders, especially when they're filled with tasty sunflower seeds. Their preference for extreme environments make rosy finch populations difficult to study. Thankfully, community scientists are helping to fill data gaps by logging observations of rosy finches on backcountry expeditions and at backyard feeders. For Bird Note, I'm Ariana Rimmel.
Hi, it's Nardwar, the human serviette, saying you're listening to CJSF Burnaby and do-do-loo-do CJSF.
are listening to CJSF 90.1 FM. Broadcasting from Burnaby Mountain, British Columbia.
I'm Dr. Anthony Lizerwitz, and this is Climate Connections. Hundreds of feet deep in the ocean, light fades to black, and a vibrant ecosystem comes to life. This is the ocean's twilight zone, a cold, dark place that's home to strange jellyfish and glowing squids, as well as plankton and countless fish.
It's really an amazing assemblage of animals that have adapted to these low light and cold conditions.
Chris Dorsett of the nonprofit Ocean Conservancy says these animals help regulate the Earth's climate by transporting planet-warming carbon deep underwater. The ocean absorbs a lot of carbon dioxide from the atmosphere. Then tiny phytoplankton near the ocean's surface take up carbon as they photosynthesize and grow. Every night, creatures from the twilight zone swim to the surface to eat these phytoplankton and other creatures. Then they take that carbon back down to the deep, where much of it will remain. But Dorsett says the twilight zone is in trouble as companies grow more interested in deep-sea fishing and mining. So he says it's vital that countries enact policies to protect it.
This area very much needs to be protected before activities begin that could really impact it and impact those values for society.
Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. To learn more about climate change, visit climateconnections.org.
Volunteering at CJSF 90.1 FM is a great experience and is easy to get started, so I'll tell you a little bit about it in the hope that you reach out. As this station is run almost entirely by volunteers, you have a variety of ways to get active at CJSF. Every department can use a little bit of help. Arts and entertainment. Well, you can write and produce reviews, conduct interviews of local musicians, the music library, acquiring, organizing, reviewing, and compiling charts. Public affairs. Interviewing groups, attending events, recording lectures. Public relations, postering, graphic design, and programming. You can host your own show or work on a collective. Production, audio editing, and PSA building. And once you feel comfortable, you can even volunteer to help the volunteers. So volunteer with us at CJSF 90.1. Email us at vol4cjsf@sfu.ca.
You're listening to